Just bow your heads for a moment. Father, we come before you knowing that your hand is upon us. Without your word coming alive through us, it's just another word. So I'm asking that you would give an anointing upon these words to break forth so that your spirit can have the freedom. In Jesus' name. I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 2 because of a word that I heard yesterday. And just in the NIV, the heading, it says, made alive in Christ. Now, made alive, the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means anointing or anointed. So if we're made alive in the anointed, that means a corporate body of believers are capable of doing things that you could not do on your own. That's why the body of Christ is important, because a lot of times we have a misconcept that we can do all things on our own. And when we do, we're not having the safety value of the saints. The safety value of a family is a mom and a dad that are capable of overseeing their children. So we understand that part. If we're going to be talking about an army, we'd be talking about its leadership being needed in order to create that army. And if they all float on their own doing what they want, it's not a very useful army. I believe that if you look at Joel chapter 1 and 2, you'll see an army being formed by God out of his people. But very few want to flow in unity. I believe that's what your two fingers were, two hands with the loosely connected fingers. We are being joined together. The right hand is coming into the left hand. It's coming in together in harmony. Okay? They're not tightly tied because they need to have flexibility. And I was blessed by that vision, because I believe that's the body of Christ. Now, you say, well, we're only a few. Do you know something? One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000, etc., etc. The word that I heard was Ephesians 2:6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. Notice who does the raising of us. It's God. It's not you, it's not me, it's not me declaring what I think I am or what I would like me to be, but God raised me up with Christ and seated me with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now the purpose, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You know, when God decides to pick up somebody, he does the choosing. We think we're the ones that are in the control room, but we're not. And I can remember several months ago, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, there was loads and loads of people in this church scene, and I was very uncomfortable. And I kept saying, God, how I wish we could go back to being what we were. So when I got up the next morning, it was very vivid in my heart. And the Lord said, enjoy where you are right now. Because what will come later won't be that comfy. Are you catching on? It's like when I was young and my children were young, people would say to me, wait till they get older, the problems will get bigger. And I thought, oh my God, this three-year-old can't get any worse. But it did. Because the problems with their age grew in stature. The parallel was way, way different. And I didn't like some of the things that I was watching, and I had no power to change it. At least when they were 3 years old, I could change it. Come on, Mary, you got to be saying amen to me.
No, I said ouch.
Ouch. You said ouch, okay. I didn't hear the ouch, but I'm glad I brought that up. Okay. So God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, when God decided to do this with us, the reality check comes when you see the man of flesh, the woman of flesh, acting on its own. Now, how many can relate to that? See, when I see my old nature pushing buttons, pushing me to do things, and I end up flowing with it because it's a great idea at the moment, I also see the repercussions. So I need to remind myself that I am connected to the body, that others are interceding for me, others are on the job doing what only God can do through an anointing that will break the yoke of the enemy. That vision where the wall is getting burst by a good kick is done by intercession. Not intercession with prayers that are understandable. Most of the time, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's doing a mighty work. And we need to submit to that as best we can. When I say as best we can, it's because you're still putting up with this brain that's on top of your shoulders. You know? Instead of listening to the Spirit of the Father, we end up listening to the natural mind. And I'm just as guilty as you. I'm not accusing you. I'm just trying to figure out how this new man is really going to come together if I'm still stubborn and doing my own thing. Because the new man that God wants to create is going to be obedient to the Father every step of the way, just like Jesus was. He's not going to be doing what he thinks is right. He's going to be doing what Papa says to do. I was on the phone with somebody the other day, and we had quite a conversation, and they wanted me to do something, and I kept hearing no, no. And I said, I cannot agree with what you're asking right now. And they said, why not? It's a good idea. I said, it's a marvelous idea. But I had a little bit of a vision in my head. Because now I'm crying out to the Lord. How do I respond to this person to wake him up? Okay? And I remember going into Bethany, when we were on a back road coming into Jerusalem. And it's very short distance. And I'm mentally seeing the women crying out, saying, Jesus, won't you come and lay hands on Lazarus, please? I had a wonderful idea. So Jesus gets the message and sits back down and says, okay, guys, let's pray. That ain't a good idea. Praying is not a good idea. Your friend is dying. He's very sick. The girls are upset. They're hurting. These are your friends. You go there every year for the feast, twice a year. Why shouldn't you activate and go and lay hands on this man? But I'm positive. Heavenly Father is telling the Lord, no. And the girls are getting more upset. Amen? Amen. And they're getting frustrated because it ain't done yet. And after all, where is he? He told us he loved us. Where is he? And if he shows up, he goofs up Father's plan. So he sits, and everybody's frustrated with him. Well, I thought you said, and, you know, you loved him. Oh, he says, he's asleep. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Then he's better. He says, no, he's dead. When your miracle that you so desperately want is in the grave, and it's wrapped with grave clothes, when you see a stench coming from your dead dream, it's got a stone in front of it, rolled up, tight, nobody can get in. But you belong to the body of Christ, and you're seated with Him, and you're right next to Papa, and He's saying, don't you dare move yet. It's not done. And everything in you is frustrated. And Papa says, now, go. And you get to the town, and the girls are just bawling their eyes out. Well, where were you? And he tries to explain with the truth. Where did you have him laid? Oh, but he stinks already. How many have got a few dreams that are actually now stinking? They're old. They're wrapped in grave clothes. And the dead stone in front of it keeps you from looking at it because it's been buried for so long. You're hoping out of a desire inside of you that nobody reminds you of how dead it is because, just because. But then the Lord Father says to his son, okay, how's somebody going to move the stone away? I'm about to resurrect him. What if he had listened to the women? What if he had seen their tears and just melted in obedience to their desire? After I said this scenario to the person, I said, are you now ready to get God's plan on the case or your own? Are you ready? And they pondered. And I'm going to say the same thing to you. Wait for Papa. It's going to be such a major, major change when Papa does it rather than you. Are you willing to listen to His word? Verse 1 of chapter 2, Ephesians. As for you, you were dead. Isn't that cool? Where did God take you? Where did He pick you up? You were dead. Just like Lazarus. In your transgressions and sins, with an S, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air. Woo-hoo! I followed that. And you followed it, and we still visit. We still visit. Or you say, why are you visiting? I'm not visiting anymore. Well, you better take a fine-tuned echo of your past week and see how many times you visited where flesh used to reside. The rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Have you been disobedient this week? Then you qualify. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Notice the word thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of His grace. Really? I'm jumping ahead. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship. Verse 10 is very important. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which I think are great, and I love when it's done my way. That's Kim's version. That's my fleshy attitude. It's not what the word says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. God prepared this in advance? Yeah. He's got the video. He's also got the audio. And you're tuned in to me, oh. Oh, he won't only understand me. He doesn't want to answer my prayer. He's waiting for a bigger miracle.
Hallelujah.
He's waiting to get you out of that grave and put you back where you belong with him. Amen. And you know what? There's not one of us that's not guilty of this. Not one of us. I mean, there's desires by the dozen in every believer's heart. There's miracles by the millions waiting to be resurrected. And most people are out there yelling on their own steam, getting very tired, and it gets nowhere. Profess the word. And you know, they take it out of context. Jesus did not go out there yelling Lazarus a mile from the town. He could have said, like he said to the woman, I believe she was from Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was completely out of her mind. Demons were literally using her. And she said to the Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. And he said, for that, your daughter's delivered. So he could have done the miracle right from where he was, but he didn't choose to do that because Papa gave him instructions. Now I'm going to hit you where it hurts. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And say, Lord Jesus, give me a lesson in how to sit.
Give me a lesson in how to sit.
Right next to you.
Right next to you.
Right on that throne.
Right on that
throne. And get Papa.
To receive that word.
That I trust him.
With all the things
that I've placed before him.
I trust him by choice.
Not by an emotion.
And I'm willing to go
the long haul.
So that he
can really bless me with a resurrection of that which is of him. And all the glory will go to him instead of to me.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. You know, he's got a plan.
It's the how-to.
It's the how-to. It's the choice-to. Amen?
Yeah.
It's the choice of saying, okay, you're going to do this. I'm going to be dying in the process.
Yeah.
That's the part that's uncomfortable. It's the dying to what I think is right, what my emotions are saying, and what I'm looking at, and even what I'm smelling.
There used to be a used to be an old children I like song that we used to sing, and it used to go like this. They that wait
upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not fail. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen. But he's teaching us, and most of us are jumping around getting antsy for nothing.
I can relate to that, Nancy.
Yeah. And it's part of the flesh that wants to run ahead of God. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to get there? By grace? By shouting grace to yourself? Over and over until you are convinced that His grace is sufficient? And let His plan unfold.
Amen.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel take you higher. Let you be sprinkled by the oil of joy until you get to the fullness of the glory that He's prepared. In Jesus' name.